So turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. You understand my accent. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read verse 1 to verse 14. But the people of Kirova appreciate you so much. The people of Bwaise, Pastor Arnold and Theo, they appreciate you so much. This church has built two deep churches, have changed two different communities, one in the suburbs of Kampala, through Arnold and Theo. That's the first church you built. You bought land and you built a church. And now you went into eastern Uganda. That tribe is called Basoga tribe. And I'm praying that one of these days, the team from here will come and we open those churches officially, especially this one among the Basoga tribe. So if God prepare your heart and you feel you are ready, come next year and we open that church. I believe it will be ready. And everyone will say amen. Okay. I bring greetings from my wife, Sissy. We've been married now 33 years. We have children and now grandchildren. So I'm now a grandpa. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know." Again he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are very dry, and our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, all my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, all my people, and brought you up from your graves. I'll put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord.'" Let's read the three verses from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, I'll read verse 13, 14 to 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Father, we thank you that you love us so much that whatever you want to do, you want to be glorified through us. You want to change the world through us. You want to heal broken hearts through us. You want to change nations. You want to bring peace to the nations through us. You want to bring salvation to the nations through us. As we partake your word this morning, I pray, Spirit of God, you who wrote these scriptures, give us illumination and understanding of treasures hidden in these scriptures. And whatever I plan to teach and to say as a man, I lay to the altar. I ask you, Spirit of God, to speak through me. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. It's very interesting how God Almighty decided to work through us. Before he created a man, God used to say, "Let there be," and things happen. But immediately he created Adam and Eve, he stopped just creating things and complete his mission. He wants to complete whatever he does with you. He can do without us, but he wants to work with you. God can say, "Be healed," and all there will be no sick people in the hospitals. He can say, "Let their schools be built in all the villages," and schools will be built. He can just tell building churches, they can just let the church building be built, and it will be built without us. But he doesn't want to do that. He created an elephant, he brought it to Adam and said, "Give it a name." And Adam gave it a name. He created a lion, he didn't give it a name. He brought it to Adam. You think God did not know those names? He did. But he just wanted to complete his purposes together with you. Hallelujah. He saw the cry. He heard the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt. He saw their suffering. Oh, they broke his heart. And he said, "I'm going to go deliver them." So he said, "I've come down." And then he met Moses and said, "Moses, I have heard the cries of my people. I have seen their suffering. And I'm brokenhearted. I'm going to save them. Come. I'm sending you." And God, with Moses, delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt without using a gun, without a fighting planes we see today, but just God and Moses. Such that Moses, when the Red Sea saw Moses, did not see Moses, it saw God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. Can I get 4 people to come up here and we work together? Volunteers. Please, come up. 4 people. Yes, yes. That's 1, 2, 3. Up here. You're going to preach with me today. All right. What's your name?
Helen.
So, Helen. Let's say today she's getting born again. Without Jesus, she's alone in this box. I call this a box. This is not Stephen Mayanja. This is my box. Stephen Mayanja is the one talking to you. I live in this box. Amen? So, your name, you said?
Helen.
So, Helen is without Jesus. She's alone in this box. But when she asked Jesus to come into her heart, so how many are in the box? There is Helen and there is Jesus. Following me? And then he baptized her with the Holy. How many are in the box? And then we get God the Father. Doesn't he look like a God the Father? So how many are in the box? So if it was Moses, this was Moses with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and God the Father going to Egypt. And when the Red Sea saw, did not see Helen, it saw the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So when we get born again, the kingdom of God come and reside in us. The book of the Gospel of John is chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Let me read it for you. If you can project it, it will be good. Chapter 14, verse 23. Chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 23. Put it there so we can see. Okay. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy, will come to him and make our home within him. So once you fall in love with Jesus, God the Father also come. God the Holy Spirit come. And they make your box their home. So each one of you, you are a home of the King of the Kingdom of God. Say amen. Amen. And I call this a dangerous team. Unstoppable team. When you are anointed like this one. That's how Moses went to Egypt and took a nation out of a nation. We don't labor. Because when you move, Helen, move. The kingdom of God is moving. Hallelujah. So once you come to your house, the kingdom of God has come to your house. If she's walking in the mall, the kingdom of God is walking in the mall. When you give her a job, you are blessed. Because once she comes to work in your business, the kingdom of God has come to work in your business. That's why when Joseph arrived at Potiphar's house, the kingdom of God arrived at Potiphar's house. And everything was blessed. Because the kingdom of God had arrived at Potiphar's house. When Joseph was put in prison, the kingdom of God entered the prison. And they put Joseph in charge of everything. When Joseph arrived in the parliament of Egypt, the kingdom of God arrived in the parliament. Hallelujah. So I have good news for you, is wherever you go, the kingdom of God arrives. Say amen. That's why I call you a dangerous team. Each one of you, you are dangerous. Say, I am dangerous. Say, I am anointed. Say it like you mean it. You understand it. Say, I am anointed. This is my time. You see, this is your season to make a difference. Once we cross over and we go to the other side, you will never come back here. So whatever we have to do, to change the world, we have to do it now. That's why the last word on the vision, on the video, it says, don't let the Holy Spirit change the world without you. Don't let the Holy Spirit heal the people without you. Don't let the opportunity pass by you, somebody getting saved without you. Be part of what God is doing. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So here today in our story, we see the Bible says, here is Ezekiel. He's like us. Man. In the box. But he come and say, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Hallelujah. The hand of God came upon Ezekiel. And he led him by the Holy Spirit. You remember, we read the story. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel, once the hand of God came upon him, the Spirit of God, the whole kingdom of God came in Ezekiel. God wants to change the world through each one of us. Say a big amen.
Amen.
And many of us, we are anointed, but we don't know. We think people who change the world, they are born different. No, they are ordinary people who understand that this is God's will. He's living in me, and I have to hear his voice. I have to see what he's doing, and have sound mind to know this is what he wants me to do. I partner with God, and things happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So when Ezekiel was walking, because it was not Ezekiel, it was the kingdom of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. Ezekiel walked in the valley of dry bones. So when she's walking, when he's walking in the valley of dry bones, God himself is walking in the valley of dry bones. So wherever the church goes, there must be life. We are anointed to speak life. Say amen. Where there is death, where there is hopelessness. I heard the pastor praying. Today the whole world is a valley of dry bones. There's no hope. People are disparate. They don't know what comes next. Every channel you put on the news, whether radio, whether TV, there is death, there is crying. It's a valley of dry bones. No hope. People have given up living. I felt so bad when I saw a man who know how to shoot a gun and he just killed innocent people. Pa, 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 pa. Hopelessness. But God has anointed the church, and the church is not the building. The church is? Say me. The church is? So you are the one to bring hope and life today. Say amen. Now, you just saw the video. Among the Basoga tribe, you see babies giving birth to babies. There's a lot of immorality there. There's a lot of ungodliness there. People are hopeless. And there is a community that are hopeless that even jiggers eat there. Feet. They are suffering. But I just want to say thank you that you heard the voice of God. I read the scriptures from Romans chapter 10 where the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, how can they hear without a preacher? And then how can they go and preach if nobody is sending them? That's why I'm here to say thank you for sending us. Hallelujah. Thank you for partnering with Jesus and partnering with us and sending us to go in those villages. You saw those people. You saw their old church. People were laughing at them. But God spoke to you. You spoke a word. You partner with the Holy Spirit. And now you saw they are happy. They have joy. They have happiness. In Ibwaise, when Bob came, those of you who have been in Uganda, when you walk in Ibwaise, where you Bob and the team here built the church, brought life. But when you walk in wise, people live in shock. They have no hope. Valley of dry bones. No hope. For those of you who have been walking in wise, those who come and walk in those villages, you see people, sorrow. You just look at their eyes and you see sorrow. But when you speak the life, because when you come, it is not you, Helen. It is the kingdom of. Either you speak or you support those who speak. Hallelujah. That's why I want to say thank you for sponsoring Bible College students. I have them back there too. Some from Rwanda, Burundi, Congo. Burundi is the poorest country. We have planted 23 churches now in Burundi. Pastor, let us appreciate God. Pastored by some of the students you sponsor. They come as refugees, we disciple them, we give them the word of God. They come as refugee, dry bones. They receive Jesus. They are sponsored. They go home full of the Holy and speak life into their villages. Because you sponsored them. There is a family that sponsored me here 37 years ago. And now that family, maybe they will never be back in Africa, but what they did, it's changing Africa. Because now, since I left here, we are in 8 nations of Africa. We have churches in Rwanda, we have churches in Congo, we have churches in Southern Sudan, we have churches in Tanzania, in Kenya, in West Africa, Northern Ghana, because we are taking the life. When we arrived, when we went to Ghana, in 4 days, we baptized 247 new converts in water. In 4 days. We went to support Joseph, who was a son of a king, a chief, in the northern tribe. God brought him to our Bible college. We trained him. He received the Holy, spoke in tongues, and he went back. When I reached in northern Ghana, it's all mosque, Muslims. Beautiful building, a mosque. The rest are huts. But when Joseph went, the kingdom of God went. There was no water. We did a well. Hallelujah. There was no school. We built a grade school. Now we are building a junior high. They didn't have toilet. The first thing we put on our mission land was a toilet. Because when I went there, I said, Joseph, where are the bathrooms? He said, oh, here it's a free range. And I said, okay, you've been in Uganda 3 years. The free range here is going to change. Hallelujah. Because those are what we call valley of dry. But when the church arrive, things change. Hallelujah. Things change. Say, I am anointed. Come on, say it loud. I am anointed. To change the world. To bring life. Hallelujah. So, thank you. Let us appreciate them. So now, when we go back to Ezekiel chapters 37, I just want to, so that you know what we are talking about. That when God's hand was upon Ezekiel, he was leading him by the Holy Spirit. And God said, can these bones live? Can life change? Can life come into the hopeless community? Can life come into the hopeless tribe? Can life come into the hopeless families? And what is the church's answer today? God, you know. Do something, God. You're God. Everyone wants God. God, it's your business. Go ahead. You are God Almighty. And God wants to do things with, let's say, me. Because when we say us, others will not participate. When we come to a point that now, let everyone be part of you. You say, no, I said us. You go, me, I will come tomorrow. And tomorrow will never come. So, when God wants to change the world, he wants each one of us to be part of the movement. So he said, can these bones live? And the church today say, Lord, you know. And God brings back the responsibility to each one of us as a church. He says, I'm not going to complete salvation without you. I'm not going to heal the villages without you. I'm not going to transform communities without you. So he says, Ezekiel, don't run away. Come, we are going to work together. He says, son of man, prophesy. Do something. Be part of the healing. Be part of the resurrection. Be part of bringing a new life, new chapter in the hopeless families. Be part of what I'm doing, healing families, healing the brokenhearted. Be part of helping the orphans. Speak. If you don't go, send. Hallelujah. If you are not part of it, and you are just there seeing, just looking, you have stinking feet. Because he said, how beautiful are those who bring good news. They have beautiful, and those who don't participate, they have stinking feet. So we better check our feet. Are they beautiful or stinking? So if you don't be part of the movement of the missions, you have stinking feet. If you are part of God's movement and you are changing your people's life, oh, you have beautiful feet. Hallelujah. So today's church, they want to excuse God. You are the only one who can handle that. Some of us today, we are almost going to say, God, we are praying for you. God. We are praying for you. Go make a difference there. God said, I want to partner with you. Because God, from the beginning, when God wanted to start a church movement we are part of, he depended on Mary. He came to Mary and said, Mary, I have a vision to start a church movement that will bring healing and transformation of mankind. Can I borrow your womb? Mary would have said, no, I'm planning a wedding. And this womb is for Joseph's babies. But he said, I am in. I'm our handmaid. He didn't even call Joseph. He just said, Lord, I am in. Let's do it. God is looking for partners to speak life, to bring hope, to bring transformation. When Mary accepted, she said, I am virgin. I don't have a man. And God said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. You see? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy involved and Mary. And Joseph looked and said, that's not me. That's not my responsibility. So don't call me. Don't Twitter me. Don't email me. Don't send me WhatsApp. Stay away from me. Hallelujah. And what do we see? God himself going and looking for Joseph. Say, Joseph, can you partner with me? Go marry that girl. Don't be with her, but take care of my son, because through your family, a small carpenter's family, I will change the world. A small carpenter's family. Teenagers. Mary was a teenager. Joseph was still a teenager. And they saw what God was doing. And they heard the voice of God. They had the sound mind to perceive and to understand the will and the purposes of God. And they said, let's do it, Mary. They obeyed. And they worked with God. Today we are enjoying the vision and obedience of Joseph and Mary. Because they were willing to work with God. To partner with the Holy Spirit. And we are enjoying the fruits of those who are obedient. Teenagers. But we don't want to be part of what God is doing in our generation. Hallelujah. So here, Ezekiel is saying, Lord, do you know? And God said, no, don't throw the thing back to me. Prophesy. I want to borrow your mouth. Whatever God uses, he borrows. He borrowed Mary's womb. He borrowed Peter's boat. He borrowed the boy's lunch to feed the 5,000. Whatever he does, he borrows. He borrowed the upper room. He borrowed the tomb where they buried him. Hallelujah. He borrowed the donkey that took him to Jerusalem. Now he wants to borrow your feet. He wants to borrow your hands. So you lay hands on the sick and he heals them. By the Holy, through me. Hallelujah. Yes, he wants to speak. He wants you to tell your workmate, your neighbor, your family members. Christmas is coming. Your family members are coming who are not born again. Can Jesus borrow your mouth to tell them Jesus loves you? Or you will just say, God, save that wicked brother. Zap him. Screw him. And God say, speak to him. No, I'm not speaking to him. Lord, you save him. And God say, can I use your mouth to tell them I love them? So here, God is turning responsibility to a church. And the church is you and me. Say amen. So the Bible say, he obeyed and he prophesied. And when he prophesied, there was life born to born. When we speak, when we partner with God, there are going to be healing. Say amen. Communities will be changed. Broken hearts will be mended. And when he prophesied, born came and were standing there. With sinews, skin, tendons, muscles, but there were no life. We have so many people who are there, families that are there, they have no life. And God has given the church anointing. God has anointed each one of you to speak life. Hallelujah. So when you speak, the breath of life from the four corners come upon these dead bones. And then they became a great army. God wants to change the nations through the church. And he said, thus said the Lord, live. And they lived. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And there was noise. When you speak, there is noise. When you partner with God, there is healing. Verse 9, and so he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. God is depending on the man, the woman, the people. He's waiting upon us to be part of what he is doing. Hallelujah. So when you partner with God, or you send, or you go, you have beautiful feet. And so he said, verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of the church of Jesus Christ. If we partner with God, the church will grow. If we partner with God in going, in sending, in investing our lives, our knowledge, our resources into what God is doing, we'll hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. As concluded, he said, thus said the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves. So when the church partner with God, people come out of their graves. Families come out of their graves. Hallelujah. Broken hearted get healed. If we don't partner with God and we refuse like Ezekiel had refused, there would be no life. So I encourage each one of you, please, don't say it is not my business. You are anointed to interfere into people's business. I know it is not American lifestyle, but in Africa, we interfere into people's business by telling them Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. And so here he says, oh, my people, I will cause my people to come out of their graves. We are anointed. The church is placed here. God is delaying. Jesus is coming to take his bride because he's waiting on the church to be part of the work. So we finish the work. Will you be willing to quicken the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? By going or by sending? Hallelujah. Make sure you are part of the harvest. In the kingdom of God, there is no spectators. There is participators. Spectators, they just see what is happening. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father is doing. God wants us to see what he's doing, and we partner with him. Hallelujah. If somebody is sick and he tells you, can you heal? Can you go lay hands on her? I want to heal her. Be like Jesus. See that today he will heal the issue of blood. Today he will raise Jairus' kid. That's why Jesus saw everything. Whatever God was going to do, Jesus saw and partnered with his Father. Today we are his sons and his daughters. By the Holy Spirit, our eyes, spiritual eyes, have to see what God is doing. And we partner with him. Our spiritual ears must be hearing, so we partner with him. We have sound mind to hear and to understand the will and the purposes of God, and we don't miss to be part of what he's doing in our season. If Mary and Joseph did not see, did not hear, did not perceive, they would have missed the opportunity. Hallelujah. Don't let the Holy Spirit change the world without you. At least let him use your feet to go, or let him use your fingers to heal, or your mouth to speak life, or your to send. Hallelujah. Yeah, he said, how can they go unless they are sent? So at least be involved. Hallelujah. Now, if you are here and you say, okay, I'm going to be part of what God is doing, and you want to be like Helen here, receive the presence of God, and now you have discovered, I have it. I'm not going to shut up. The Bible says in Jeremiah said, I wanted to shut up, but I felt fire. I could not shut up. You see, now I just want to pray for you that the Holy Spirit will not allow you to shut up. It will burn you, say something, and then you will prophesy. Or you tell somebody, Jesus loves you. One word, Jesus loves you. If you read the Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a small girl. Naaman is home, you remember? Naaman is home. There was a slave girl. She just saw Naaman dying of leprosy. She just saw Naaman's wife crying. She saw the children were going to become orphans. She didn't care for herself, but she saw the cry of the family. She was taken captive. She's a slave. She didn't care. I left grandma. I left daddy, mommy, God, you didn't protect me, but you sent me here as a missionary. And the Holy Spirit said, say something, say something. She said, Mama, if Papa goes see my pastor, there will be no death in this home. And our man went, got healed, and there was life in the home. Because she accepted it to be used of God, to speak life into the family of her enemies. People who took her as a slave, she brought life. Hallelujah. Can we stand up on our feet? Father, I thank you that you created each one of us for a purpose. You have a mission through each one of us. If you fulfilled your mission through a slave girl in Amani's house, you fulfilled your mission through a small boy by borrowing his lunch, you fulfilled your mission through Ezekiel. Father, every time you fulfilled your mission through Elijah, through Elisha, through Joseph in Egypt, through Daniel, through Mordecai, through Esther, through Deborah. You've been partnering with people to bring transformation. Forgive us where you have not participated as a church. We are all born again. We have Jesus in our lives. You have filled us with your Holy Spirit. But many of us, we answer like Ezekiel. God, do you know? If you want to save them, you know, you go save them. Forgive us for where we have not participated. Forgive your church. The whole world is full of dry bones. The whole world is full of hopelessness. But the church, we are a sleeping giant. We have not seen. Help our eyes to see. We have not heard. Open our spiritual ears to hear your voice. So we know what you want to partner with you to do. Give us sound mind. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Help our mind to perceive your will, your purpose. So we don't miss the season to partner with you, to work with you, to heal broken hearts with you. Jesus, I pray, let the Spirit of God come upon every man here, every woman here. And I pray that give a revelation to each one to know the gift you have put in them. Those who are supposed to go, I pray they will come and go. They will rise up and go. Those who are supposed to pray and to give, let them pray and give, know what they are supposed to give, so they don't miss opportunity to be part of your movement. The boy gave his lunch, and all the 5,000 men did not participate, but a younger boy saw what you are doing and invested his lunch into your ministry. Forgive us where you have just said, Lord, you know. We didn't care. Help us to care. Help us to be part of what you are doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church. They have been part of the movement. I pray for those who haven't been a part, that during this season, they will not allow to miss opportunity, but they'll rise up and be part of your movement to bring healing, to bring salvation to the nations. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, if you are sick and you have pain somewhere, can you put your hand up? Father, in the name of Jesus, with the power and authority you've given to me, I command every sickness. I curse pain. I curse infections. I curse diseases. I rebuke and curse the spirit of cancer, diabetes, high blood pressures, arthritis, and all other sicknesses and diseases. I rebuke you, and I command you, leave the bodies of Jesus Christ. These are temples of the Holy Spirit. These men and women, their bodies are temples of Jesus. They are not temples of sickness. They are not temples of pain. They are not temples of diseases. They are temples of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I decree healing, power to flow through your body, and let every pain leave in the name of Jesus. And I decree long life and divine health in Jesus' name. May God bless you. Thank you very much. For those of you who come to Africa, I'm waiting to see you. I have books, so many testimonies. There are books back there. You can get a book and know what God is doing in Africa villages. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, bless you. Hey, a couple things right before I dismiss you. So this is not an either or kind of a thing. You know, it's a both and. So sometimes we think, well, if I just give, then I don't have to do what Steve's saying, participate with the Lord. As you walk out the doors, if you haven't noticed this before, as you walk out the doors outside, there's a sign right on the wall that says you are entering your mission field. Because every one of us have a mission. Every one of us have a mission. Either our, Steve, it was great, either our feet stink, right? Or they're beautiful. So we have beautiful feet when we walk out the door into the mission field, your family, your friends, your coworkers, people in your neighborhood, people on Whidbey Island. But it's also, there's an end part to it. And our Christmas offering, I'll just tell you now, but our Christmas offering is going to go towards the church that, you know, that's asking us to continue to help them finish that. And we just ask everyone to pray and say, Lord, what do you want us to give? And again, you do what the Lord wants you to do, and that'll be all through the month of December and into early January. I think last year was $25,000, something like that, and was our Christmas offering. And you can't give $25,000, but you can give what the Lord tells you to give. Someone else gives what the Lord tells them to give, and next thing you know, we got $25,000 or $30,000 or whatever it is towards the project. Amen? Because we all do what the Lord wants us to do, and then... We are part of that sending. So I want you to, I'm just asking you already, just pray. Say, Lord, in the Christmas offering, what do you want us to give? And you just be obedient to what the Lord wants you to do, and the Lord's going to multiply it.